ancient tomb, its painted limestone facade concealing the false doorway to an underground burial chamber. The faded reliefs that decorated its walls showed offerings of food and drink that would nourish the spirit of the dead. I didn't harbor any hope that the young woman whose body I had seen today would ever be in need of the kind of good meal displayed before me. I made my way past a granite lion and nodded at the uniformed guard who slouched on a folding chair beside the elegantly carved beast, once the protector of a royal grave. Both were sleeping soundly. The outstretched arms of the neighboring alabaster monkeys held empty vessels that had no doubt been receptacles of the body parts of some mummified dignitary of the old kingdom. Voices echoing from behind me suggested that I was not going to be the last arrival at this evening's festive dinner. I quickened my pace and swept by cases filled with goddesses' stone heads, perched on shelves holding jeweled sandals and golden collars that had been buried with them for centuries. A sharp left turn brought me face to face with the enormous black sarcophagus of a 30th dynasty Egyptian queen, held open by two iron posts so that passers-by could see the image of her soul portrayed on the inside of the upper lid. The dark, heavy casket, with a faint outline of the slender body it once housed, chilled me, despite the unseasonal warmth of the late spring night. Then I turned the last corner, where the darkness of the funereal rooms gave way to the glorious open space that housed the Temple of Dendur. The northernmost end of the Metropolitan Museum of Art was a sloping, glass-paned wall soaring above the sandstone monuments, opening the vista into Central Park. It was almost 9 o'clock, and the street lamps beyond the windows lightened the night sky, giving definition to the leafy green trees bordering the great institution. I stood at the edge of the moat that surrounded the two raised buildings in this stunning wing, searching the crowd for my friends. Waiters in sleek black suits zigzagged back and forth among the guests, stopping to dispense smoked salmon on black bread and caviar blinis. They were trailed by others who carried silver trays filled with glasses of white wine, champagne, and sparkling water, dodging the elbows and arms of the assembled museum members and supporters. Nina Baum saw me before I spotted her. "You came just late enough to miss most of the speeches. Smart move." She signaled to one of the servers and handed me a flute of champagne. "Hungry?" I shook my head. "The morgue? Not a very pleasant afternoon." "Was she?" "I'll tell you about it later. Chapman thought he had a lead on a case he's been handling that's reached a dead end. So I wanted to get a clear understanding about the pattern of injuries and how they'd been inflicted. That way, if he picked up a suspect and I got a chance to question the guy tonight, I'd be ready for him." "Turned out to be a bad tip. So there's no interrogation, no arrest. It's on the back burner for a while." Nina looped her arm through mine and started to walk me toward the steps. "Why didn't you bring Mike with you?" "I tried. Once I told him it was black tie, he sent me home to shower and change. No penguin suit for him. Not even to see you. He'll catch you later in the week." Mike Chapman was a homicide detective, best one on the job in my view. Nina Baum was my closest friend, and had been for exactly half my life. We were 18 when we met, assigned to be roommates at Wellesley College when we arrived freshman year. She was married now, living in California with her husband and young son. She had met Mike many times during the decade that he and I had worked together on cases, and she looked forward to spending time with him whenever she was in town. "First, we'll find Jake." She led me up the steps, past the lone palm tree that stood on the platform below the great temple. "Then I'll introduce you to my boss and all the museum heavyweights." "How's Jake behaving? You still have a job after tonight? Or is he hounding everybody here, looking for scoops?" "Let's say we've raised a lot of eyebrows around town. I keep telling people that I've only barred him for the evening. But when you read tomorrow's gossip columns, you might begin to wonder. You must have a lot of friends here, because they can't figure out why I'm hanging on to him and why you're nowhere to be seen." "Who is that auburn-haired beauty who whisked in from the coast and stole NBC correspondent Jake Tyler right out from under the long..."